Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Vols basketball coach Rick Barnes joining the program at 8:15. Looking forward to that conversation. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports at 9 o'clock. Chris Mason at 9:30 to discuss a gigantic Preds game coming up later tonight at Bridgestone Arena. We'll get into that a little bit later this hour as well. Joe, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texting in says, good morning, guys. To be honest, I think the tight end position is more important to take care of first before the receiver position. Reason why is because the Titans need to address the offensive line, and the tight end is a part of that, so you're kind of taking care of both positions, blocking and being an outlet just in case. With getting a receiver first, you're only taking care of one thing, and that's giving Tannehill more options. Just my opinion, keep Julio and get a really good tight end, and then go after receivers. This is coming from Ron on the text line.
I would agree with that. And I think, you know, I've kind of dismissed, you know, I'm sure John Robinson will surprise me, but I've kind of dismissed the free agent receiver pursuit idea just because tight end is such, I mean, look, as of now, Julio Jones is a part of the team next year. We know that the Titans have a great receiver in A.J. Brown. Don't know exactly what they will have with Julio Jones next year, but, you know, there are worse twos in the league than what he was at the end when he played. So will he play next year? All that, there are all those questions there. But look, those two are still, like, you have no tight ends. You have none. And you may get some back, but all those guys are free agents.
Yeah,
that played for you last year. So I mean, you know, you've got to hit that position. I think that's where the free agency money goes. So I agree. You address that. Maybe you also get offensive line depth in free agency. I don't know. You know, how much money is there? I mean, today will help tell part of that story. If they tag Harold Landry, there's less money to do these things. Still think it's worthwhile, but there's less money. And then, you know, of course, they would definitely, if they do tag him, they're not just going to sit on the tag. They're going to try to get a deal done with him to give him, you know, to give him money, to give him more guaranteed money, give him the deal that he has earned, but also to give themselves cap relief early in the deal. And then again, the draft is just, I think there are some tight ends in the draft who are intriguing. I think there are a bunch of receivers in the draft who are potentially very good in the NFL.
Let's go back to the text line. Matthew from Jolton texting in says, I'd love to get Gesicki or Gronkowski on the Titans. That's my question to you. Who is the tight end? What are some of the names out there that you think are realistic that Titans fans would be happy with? Because, you know, I hear a lot of Zach Ertz and Rob Gronkowski, and take your pick of guys near the top of the list that we know are going to cost money. I'm not saying the Titans couldn't get any of those guys. I kind of think they're going to get priced out of the Ertz situation. But would Gronk be interested to come in on a one-year deal? How much would a one-year deal for Rob Gronkowski cost? I don't know. Like, I'm interested to see, like, what is the move at tight end that Titans fan, or that the Titans could make that would make fans be like, yeah, we're really excited about the tight end position right now. So I don't know. We'll see what happens on that front.
Yeah, I think that Gronk is probably not realistic. I think, you know, I think there's some guys. What is up with Evan Engram, by the way? I mean, I think he's a talented guy.
Well,
I assume the Giants.
He's had some injury problems. I would assume the Giants are interested, but the Giants also somehow are really bad and have no money. So I don't really know how that combination works, but it does with the Giants. And you also have a deal with your quarterback that's on a rookie deal, and they still have no money. So it's incredible what they've been able to do with their salary cap. Like, to me, if I'm Evan Engram, I want out of there. Like, you got to find a better quarterback, right? Like, they're still trotting Daniel Jones out there, and I guess seeing what they have with Daniel Jones. Like, to me, I think it's pretty clear what you have with Daniel Jones, and he's not good enough. So if I'm Evan Engram, I'm looking to get out, but obviously money is going to talk in that situation.
Yeah, so, yeah, and apparently, you know, he's the reporting on this is that he's definitely, like, they expect him to move on. So, you know, they picked up his option, which is $6 million this year. And he hasn't been, he hasn't been what was hoped, but it's stuff is hard sometimes to pick through when you're talking about a team that bad, you know, the quarterback situation, all that stuff. I still think he's a big talent, but he's probably, you know, he's probably too expensive for the Titans, right? I mean, someone out there is probably going to want to pay him a lot of money. Just like Gesicki, if Gesicki isn't tagged, I think he's someone that could command a big number. You know, I think there's the underrated, you know, like the Hayden Hurst of the world, the OG, you know, pretty good players who I think would definitely come in and help you. Although Atlanta is now like, hey, do we have anybody who could ever catch a pass?
Yeah.
And then you got like the OJ Howards. I mean, what is the market for OJ Howard right now? You know, what do people think about OJ Howard? After he was just sort of passed up and just not very productive in Tampa Bay, but still an intriguing talent. Is Eric Ebron someone the Titans would have interest in?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. He's obviously an older guy, and
he's 28, you know.
But he's been around for a while, and he's,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. Like, there's a texter that put on the text line, like, Kyle Rudolph got released. Like, to me, like, if I'm the Titans, I have no interest in Kyle Rudolph. I mean, the last 3 years he had 26 catches last year for 257 and a touchdown. He had 28 catches the year before that for 334 and 39 the year before that. Like, to me, if that's what you want, just go re-sign Anthony Firkser.
Well, Rudolph is an all-around tight end. He's been a very good player. But yeah, 32 years old. You know, Jimmy Graham, 35 years old. You know, look, Jared Cook, former Titan.
Bring him back.
About to be 35. Still talented, though. Jared Cook could make the case for it. But then if you do that, then it's like, well, why the heck didn't you sign Delanie Walker back, you know? I think you'd probably rather go, you know, I think you'd like to go a little bit younger and someone that you can have, you know, and feel like it's more than like a real short-term rental type thing, you know? This is why I also think like somewhere in the draft they get a tight end, that'd be great for them.
Yeah.
But I just, they're so depleted there and so in need of a makeover at the position. I don't know how you don't prioritize this in free agency.
Brian on the text line says, seriously, you don't know what'll happen with Julio Jones? He'll be hurt half the season. Hamstrings. Guaranteed, in all capital letters, from Brian on the text line. I understand the sentiment. It's not guaranteed, but it's hard to feel good about it as you move forward here.
Yeah. It is easy to say this happened previously, so it's definitely going to happen in the future, but that's sometimes things are very different than you think they will be. But yeah, look, I mean, I understand the hesitation to expect Julio Jones to be healthy next year. If the Titans have that hesitation internally, if they feel like there's some kind of degenerative thing going on where, you know, you're just going to have more of the same, well then, you know, that June 1st date gets interesting.
Well, it does. And then, I mean, either way, to me, you've got to draft a receiver that you feel like could come in and play some meaningful snaps for you right away. Like, you can't have a repeat of the Des Fitzpatrick situation last year where you're drafting somebody in the fourth round and they can't get on the field for you. Like, to me, you're drafting, if you're John Robinson, with the idea that whoever you're drafting needs to be your number two. And if Julio can step in and be your number two, well, that's great. Then it's just a bonus at that point. But I'm drafting, if I'm John Robinson this year, based on I need a wide receiver that can come in and could play next to A.J. Brown. That's why, like, I'm leaning so hard going wide receiver first round that it's not funny. I know that there are people that, you know, disagree with that and they would go in a different direction and maybe the Titans trade down, but I got an eye on a lot of receivers if I'm the Titans.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, it's interesting because if they do If they do draft a receiver in the first round, there will be, I think, some natural, even around the league, you know, like people don't really closely follow the Titans. I'm sure there'll be some, oh, what does this mean for Julio Jones? And it may not mean anything. But it also could mean something, you know. Now, I believe they need to do that and have Julio Jones if they feel like Julio Jones can play football for them and get something out of that move. But also, like, you just, like, you still need receiver depth next year. But again, pre-June 1st, you know, your dead money if you cut Julio Jones is a solid 13 mil.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
So that is not happening. Your dead money post June 1st is 4.8. So you would save more than $9 million. But again, the problem with all that is, so then, you know, then you're opening up that space, you know, like after the fact, right? Like you have to keep yourself under. But that may be the move. It could be the move. And then you'd go rookie receiver who you draft in the first round. You AJ Brown, and then you're looking, you know, Westbrook Akina. Maybe that would be a sign that you feel good about, like Des Fitzpatrick and Race Teammate Math, you know, filling in the room. And then who knows? I mean, Chester Rogers, Cam Batson, Marcus Johnson. You could be okay with that and save the money. Again, I feel like you'd want Julio Jones and the rookie to be your trio of receivers with AJ Brown.
Tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll have that opportunity later in the show at 8:45. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Plus, could an Aaron Rodgers decision today set the quarterback market and get those things in motion as well, maybe even in Indianapolis? We'll get into that coming up on the other side as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I mean, he's the only one that knows, though, right now. He is truly the only one that knows what he is going to do.
Whoa.
Okay, there's some more news from AJ Hawk from the wedding. I knew we'd get
it. Who else would know? If he hasn't said anything to the Packers, whether he's coming back, whether he wants out, whatever, how many people you think he's telling? What if he doesn't know? He probably has no idea. I think when he knows, he'll know.
Well, so he has to figure that out by tomorrow, right? 4 o'clock is what everybody's saying.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Is that what they're saying? I mean, he doesn't have to, but that would help, wouldn't it?
Kind of does.
All right, put it down. AJ Hawk says he doesn't have to know.
He can wait till July 30th if he wanted.
If he doesn't want to play with Devontae.
Write it down.
He can wait till September 27th after they play a few games.
What?
Put it on my calendar.
I don't think he could.
I think they'd want
him. That'd be a little bit tough.
It is before trade deadline.
What would he do? Is that that's the feeling you got from going out there?
No, I didn't gather anything going out there.
Oh, okay. All right, let's move around. Since we're obviously not going to get anything, we've reached.
I would love to know what you want. I cannot wait till this is done, by the way. The whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, me too, buddy. I don't even talk to the guy. I don't go to these weddings, and I just had it bang, bang, boom, 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 boom.
It's all right. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, nobody really knows. Nobody has any clue what's going on, really, ever. So here we are again.
All right, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. Okay.
That's AJ Hawk on with Pat McAfee yesterday as Aaron Rodgers officiates the wedding for David Bakhtiari over the weekend. AJ Hawk was out there for the wedding, and AJ Hawk's tired of talking about Aaron Rodgers, I think. I think all of us are tired of talking about Aaron Rodgers, Joe Rexroad. Maybe today is finally decision day, although AJ Hawk made it seem like that doesn't have to be today. Does not have to be today, even though today is the franchise tag deadline day, and I would assume the Packers would like to know what's going on with the Devontae Adams front today as well as Aaron Rodgers.
I'd like to think that AJ Hawk at that wedding at some point pulled Aaron Rodgers aside and had a little moment with him, kind of like you seen the movie Days and Confused, yes?
Oh, yeah.
You know, with Pink in the truck, and he kind of gets, you know, hey, man, you're screwing us over if you don't play next year. You know, like to think AJ Hawkins got him a little, you know, had a few drinks and like, hey, man, I'm sick of this crap, yeah. Okay?
People are asking me every day what you're going to do. Yeah, good stuff. Maybe it is decision day for Aaron Rodgers.
It has to be, right?
I mean, you would think so. I hesitate to say anything has to be with Aaron Rodgers, but you would think today makes a ton of sense, and I'm hopeful that it does, because to me, Joe, like, once that domino falls, wherever it is, whether it's to, you know, he's retiring, or which I don't think is really under consideration anymore, or he's coming back to Green Bay, or he tells the Packers he wants to be traded, whatever that is, like, I feel like when the Aaron Rodgers domino drops, that's when we'll start to see quarterback movement take place around the league. Like Carson Wentz, maybe at that point, Jimmy G at that point, because I think until, like, you, like, to me, if I'm San Francisco, yes, I love Trey Lance, but until I just absolutely know that there's no chance that Aaron Rodgers is coming to the Niners, like, aren't you waiting to see what happens there? Like, if you're the Colts, until you know that there's absolutely no chance that you can get Aaron Rodgers, aren't you kind of waiting to see what happens there to a certain degree? I don't know. Maybe some people answer that differently, but I think once the Aaron Rodgers domino falls, then we'll start to see the quarterback movement take place across the league.
Yeah, and he very much understands that he's – I mean, I think he's just, like, power hungry, you know?
Yeah.
He's pushing P, but, like, on a power trip. He's pushing power trip.
We were doing that yesterday.
What's that?
We were doing that yesterday, pushing some power. It's good stuff in the studio.
Oh, right. Yes, yes. Yes, we were. Everything's been fine so far.
Yeah. We're on the air. It's good.
I just realized that. I was like, what are they talking about? Oh, yeah. Got it.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's a bad joke. Yeah, man, nobody gets it. It's a bad joke, right?
We got it. I think if it takes you a second to get it, but then you get it and you laugh, then okay. I think maybe it's an even even better. It's the joke that's pushing P.
Maybe so.
I wish that wasn't brought up today. You know, I'm just going to beat it to an absolute death.
Hey, I'm here for it. I'm interested to see what happens. Like, if there's no decision from Aaron Rodgers today, to me that would be really weird. Like, I guess if you're the Packers, you're just tagging Davante Adams if you can't get a deal done by today, which they're not getting a deal done by today if Aaron Rodgers has not made a decision. So I guess you're just tagging him, and then you can either trade him or he can play on the tag next year. But my guess would be, like, if you're the Packers, you'd probably like to kick some of his cap hit down the road as well. You know, we're talking about that with Harold Landry. I'd imagine if you're the Packers, you probably want to kick Davante Adams' cap hit down the road as well. So there's a lot still to be done on that front that is waiting fully. And Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers, has talked about this. Like, yeah, a lot of the things that you're waiting on doing is just waiting on Aaron Rodgers. Like, you've got to see where that domino falls before you can do anything else.
Yeah, I mean, they are 100% all in, chips in the middle of the table, kick every can down the road you can kick, legit Super Bowl contender, or – they are chasing Dan Campbell's Lions next year as a rebuilding group of schlubs.
Who would be the favorite in the North? Would it be the Vikings, or would it be the Bears, or would it be the Lions?
It would not be the Lions. Come on.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Probably the Vikings, right? Probably the Vikings.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah. Division. My goodness.
Yeah. Yes. So it's just like it's amazing, but it is. It's one player who is dictating. It's a fork in the road. It completely like there's, and maybe the Packers would still say, well, no, we still believe blah, blah, blah. No, man, it's start over time. You can say whatever you want. You're starting over essentially. And you got to get younger, and you got to get rid of some of these deals. And you know, and then I guess you have to see if Jordan Love is your guy, right? I mean, you're not giving up on him yet, right?
I mean, I am, but yeah, they're probably not. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Paul texting in says, wouldn't it make sense to address other areas of need besides receiver in this draft and concentrate on receiver in the next draft when we can cut the turnover machine loose? Seems like the game plan will be run, run, run with Tannehill under center. Also, Joe Rexroad is the beater of dead horses. This is coming from Paul on the text line.
That's true. But now, Paul, I'm going to beat your take because no, what?
No. I guess he's saying you just wait.
This is going to run.
Just wait to address wide receiver until Tannehill's gone, man. Hey, there's no point in getting receiver in there until you got 17 out.
Tannehill is now such a bad quarterback, he deserves no receivers. Sorry. He threw those picks. You get zero receiver. In fact, this is going to be a no receiver offense for you, Ryan. No. No. Again, he's your quarterback next year. You do need to be great around him. You could be good. You can be very good. Skepticism for what he would do in the playoffs? Absolutely. No, you have to give him and look, whether he's the quarterback in 23 or not, you need another young receiver that you can develop, that you can have on a rookie deal. And to me, it's as simple as like supply and demand. Like the supply of excellent receivers right now coming from college football to the NFL, I think there's as much reliability as I've ever seen in my life. And there's as much early impact too. Speaking of beating dead horses, I like to tell stories. Let me tell you a quick story. So way back in the day, Charles Rogers was and rest in peace, great guy. Just a wonderful person who had substance abuse issues, but eventually later in his life, Charles Rogers was a great player at Michigan State. Covered him there. He got drafted number 3 overall to the Lions, went there and did a big piece on him, like in training camp. And it's funny because, so we're talking, we're talking 2003. But back then, I remember that the thrust of the whole thing was rookie receivers in the NFL do not make an impact. Like the average rookie receiver in the NFL at that point, like it was very rare to find someone who came right in. You had some, but you'd have to be exceptional. And, the offenses were so different, all that stuff. Now, almost 20 years later, which is depressing, it's so much more translatable from college to the NFL. The NFL has borrowed a ton from college football. And so that's why you're seeing so many receivers come in and immediately be really good players. You're also seeing quarterbacks play earlier. Be good earlier, but also you're seeing quarterbacks be given up on really quickly too, by the way. So just a little story for you to illustrate how things have changed. I just think there's a ton of receivers in this draft who could come in here and immediately give this offense juice. If they're going to pass the ball. I mean, maybe not. Maybe don't pass the ball.
Talk about Derrick Henry's workload. All right, buddy. You're ready for 900 carries next year. It'd be great.
That's right.
We'll continue.
Go to the tight end a little bit.
Yeah. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into a massive game tonight for the Nashville Predators as they host the Dallas Stars at Bridgestone Arena. That's coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Right now, there are deals from everything from half off the Woodhouse Spa, half off to dining at the Mainstay and Hard Rock Cafe, half off to Brooklyn Bowl, plus $50 free with a purchase of $100 in downtown dollars. Check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Joe Rex Road, a massive game tonight at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators hosting the Dallas Stars. Right now, the standings are as such. The Stars are ahead of the Predators in the standings in the first wild card spot. They're 1 point up on Nashville, same amount of games played. So the Stars with 67 points, 66 points for the Predators. This is the last time that the Predators and Stars will meet in the regular season. So I'm not saying that, whether or not the Preds make the playoffs or whether or not they finish ahead of the Stars all comes down to tonight, because obviously there's still a lot of hockey to be played. But anytime it's the last game of the regular season against a team that you're going to be fighting with for a playoff spot of some kind, very important game, and it would be great if you're the Predators to start this week off on the right foot and get 2 points tonight against the Dallas Stars, who have been red hot as of late.
Yeah, it's big. It's big. The whole week is big, but this sets the tone, and this is your last shot at, you know, like you said, at beating these guys. It's also, you know, it's either, I mean, if we're talking regulation victory, you're talking about, you know, point up or three back. Pretty big difference, obviously. So, they've got a bounce back from some of the bad hockey they played, bounce back from the laugher of a win that they got the other night. And, you know, I think we'll probably see a game a lot like the one they played last time, which was very playoff-like to me.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to move out there. You're going to have to fight for every square inch of ice out there. I'm interested to see, you know, does John Hines leave Forsberg and Duchesne with Ryan Johansson? We've talked about finding someone to play with Johansson and not wanting to break up the Granlund line. I don't know that he necessarily wanted to break up the Granlund line, but he did this past game, and all of a sudden you score 8 goals. I know a lot of them came for the fourth line, so that's tough to expect that on a nightly basis from Michael McCarron and Matt Luff and Philip Tomasino. Although I will say, Tomasino, 4-game point streak right now, so he's getting rewarded for some good play, and the puck seems to be going in when Tomasino is on the ice. But I'm interested tonight to see if you go back with the same look you had on Saturday and whether or not Forsberg and Duchesne are playing with Ryan Johansson. I mean, most of the time, especially when you win 8-0, you don't see coaches mess with the lineup all that much. I guess I'd be surprised if there's many, you know, lineup changes tonight based on the health of the team and based on the way they played on Saturday. But how long are they going to leave Forsberg and Duchesne with Ryan Johansson? I think it's something pretty interesting to monitor as they move forward. And if you do that, like, can you get anything from the Granlund line? Could Tolvanen and Cunnan step up with Granlund and give you some production there?
Yeah, and that would be huge. Like, if you somehow, again, you can't expect the, you know, fourth line had a great time. Hey, maybe a little confidence from that. Good for them. But, you know, having a third line that you can feel good about would be huge, of course. And, you know, just the way Granlund plays, I guess, like, I understand the thinking on the move. You know, Johansson has kind of maybe been a little bit hamstrung by his surroundings. Granlund, it's just, you know, Granlund has just been such a consistent force for this team. So maybe he's the one to get those guys going a little bit. And then you could have, obviously, a really potent line with Johansson and those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to, if you're going to put those three together, like, they got to be productive for you. Like, I understand that it's going to be a playoff game tonight, and, you know, there's going to be a whole lot of defensive hockey. There's going to be a lot of mucking things up in the neutral zone, and it's going to be ugly out there at times tonight. Like, if you're Johansson, Forsberg, and Duchesne, you got to find a way to break through that tonight if you're those three guys. If they're going to leave those three on a line together, like, to me, it's so top-heavy if you do that. Like, you've got to find a way to produce if you're those three. And look, Duchesne's going right now. I mean, I don't think there's any question. Duchesne has, in a way, kind of replaced Forsberg as the hot forward right now for the Predators. They're both tied with 27 goals apiece right now. Duchesne's goal, like, if you didn't see his goal on Saturday night, the second one, I mean, it was just beautiful. And to me, it was a goal that is just oozing confidence right now from that guy. So you're feeling good about where he's at. It'd be nice to see those three really kick it into a high gear tonight. Because if you can get a line that's dominant out there, you know, if I'm John Hines in a game like this, I'm playing those guys close to 20 minutes tonight.
Yeah, and look, this is you got to get in the playoffs, but this is an example of, you know, like a playoff-like series or a playoff series. You know, you're going to be in a tight checking game, and you need those guys to still be able to emerge in a game like that and create opportunities, you know? And I mean, I like their chances based on how Duchesne is playing. I mean, Forsberg, I don't know. Is it a little early to say Forsberg's gone cold? I mean, it's been what, 3 games?
It's a little early. Yeah.
I mean,
he had a point last game too. So it's not like he's just totally dried up, but it's a little early.
Yeah. The expectations for him, because he's been so good and so consistent this year, you know, or like, you're like hypersensitive to any, to a couple games when he doesn't score a goal. But I mean, it should be a heck of a combination. And if it isn't, it's easy to go right back because the with Granlund and those two guys, it was pretty reliable all season long.
Well, and this is yet another opportunity for Elli Tolvanen. Like, we've talked about him being on the fourth line. Like, eventually, if you're Tolvanen, you got to make something happen regardless of where you are. And, you know, if you're getting a chance with Granlund and Cunnan, you know, I still, and we've talked about this, I don't view Luke Cunnan as a top six forward. I think he's more kind of a third line guy. But Granlund, obviously, is a top six forward. Like, you've got a guy that's been dishing the puck out all year long and doing it effectively. If you're Tolvanen, you got to let it fly tonight. Like, you got to find a way to get open and use that shot. I thought the Predators, the last time they played the Stars, I thought they defended really well. And you've got Jason Robertson coming in tonight as, you know, maybe the hottest player in the league offensively right now. You got to defend well. But to me, you know, you've got to find some guys outside of those three that we've talked about at forward to make some plays for you. And there's another opportunity tonight on a silver platter for Elli Tolvanen to do something with it. He's eventually got to respond to that.
No question. And I think you're exactly right. I think that's part of what this is okay, here's your opportunity. Again, he's entrenched himself. He plays to John Hines' liking in enough aspects of the game, off the puck and all that stuff, that he's in the lineup. But he's here for that shot. And you gotta find space to get it off. And then, like, it just hasn't looked the same to me this year. I don't know. I can't exactly describe that. There's no analytics, you know, to explain that. It just doesn't look like this lethal heat seeking missile that it was a year ago. Why that would be, I have no idea.
Well, he's got to hit the net too. I mean, that's, I understand you're trying to pick a corner, but you got to hit the net if you're Elli Tolvanen when you get those chances. So I'm interested to see if he can do that tonight. I mean, the power play, you feel good about right now if you're the Predators. I know they had that stinker of a third period against Seattle. I thought the power play responded fine the other night against San Jose. So you're feeling good about a lot of things heading into this matchup. This is a massive game tonight for the Predators. Got to get a win tonight and set yourself up on a good week. I mean, you got Anaheim coming in Thursday. They're right behind you in the standings. You know, Edmonton and Calgary played last night in the Battle of Alberta, and Calgary continues to roll right along. So Edmonton did not draw any closer to you last night in the standings. So some things are happening. Minnesota is now within range of you. St. Louis is within range of you. So it's a big week for the Predators to take advantage of that. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. You're going to be joined by Tennessee men's basketball coach Rick Barnes coming up at 8:15. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, we've talked about Matt Duchene. He has 4 goals in his last 2 games, now with 27 on the season. His career high for goals in a season is 31 that he had a couple of years ago, combo with Ottawa and Columbus for 31 goals. So it looks like he is going to shatter his career high for goals in a season. His career high for points in a season is 70, which he's reached a couple of different times, most recently right before he signed the contract with the Predators with Ottawa and Columbus. My question for you is, if he stays healthy, I mean, he's going to end up around, I don't know, 75, 78, 80 points, somewhere in that area if he keeps on the pace that he's on right now. When you evaluate the entire picture, the first 2 years here in Nashville, the way that he's responded this year, his age at 31 years old, how has the way that Duchene has played this year and his age and everything factored into it. How does that view the way, or how does that affect the way that you view the contract for Matt Duchene as he moves forward here in Nashville?
Well, look, it doesn't guarantee that it won't be painful at the end. You know, I mean, you can't necessarily count on this just being what he is. But boy, does that look different.
Yeah.
I mean, I even think, you know, look, last year we had Matt Duchene as a weekly guest on this show and always appreciated talking to him. I think he's a really good interview. I think he, you know, I think he's honest and forthright and, you know, says what he thinks. I also, you know, a few times last year, he's like, yeah, bad luck. I'm like, yeah, okay, bad luck, really? And I'm not saying now that because he's having this huge year that last year, you know, was the worst luck year of all. He's playing way differently, but I look at everything and differently, and I guess I tend to want to make more excuses for what happened before this season now than I did, you know, if that makes sense. That entire response was not me pushing P, but you get my point. Like I look at his early part. I mean, you know, you got coaching change, you got a lot of disruption, a lot of figuring things out. Clearly, he and John Hines had to figure each other out and come to an agreement and come to an understanding, right? But I think what we're seeing, one, is a guy who's still a very talented player, still a very capable, gifted player. So, like, the signing of him looks better to me. I also think that I do think the Matt Duchene story is partially a story of a coach getting through to a veteran, which is a lot harder to do than getting through to a young player. Getting through to an established, productive veteran, you know, star,
yep,
in this league and getting a new level of play out of him. I think that I don't see how you look at everything that's happened since he's been here and not give a nice piece of credit to John Hines.
Well, I think for sure. And, you know, I had Paul Skrbina, who covers the Predators for the Tennessean, on yesterday on Preds Insiders, and he put it in an interesting way that I guess I've not really thought about. I mean, obviously the Predators were paying Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene a lot of money, and they've been doing that for the last couple of years in Duchene's instance, longer than that in Johansson's case. But the way that Paul put it yesterday was like it's almost like they got two free agents and didn't have to pay anything extra for it with just how different those two guys have been this year compared to the last couple of years. And, you know, we've talked about the Johansson part of this, and it's been different in the playoffs than it's been in the regular season. And that's, you know, that's something that he's had to correct. I think largely he has corrected that this year, and he's played much better. Duchene, I mean, he's looked like a totally different guy this year. So I think you have to view the contract a little bit differently. Now, the other side of that is he is 31 years old. He has been in the league a long time. And at some point, you know, he's going to slow down. Now, you know, 31 is still, it's not like he's ancient out there or anything like that. But as you pointed out, there's a lot of tread on the tires with Matt Duchene. He's played in a lot of games in the NHL. He's at 878 in the regular season. So, you know, right now is the prime of his career, and he's playing like that. How many more years is he going to be able to play and or produce at this level? I don't know. Like, based on his career history, if he ends up with 75, 77, 80 points this year, my guess is he probably doesn't do that again just based on what his career has looked like. But you know, the conversation we were having on him heading into this year was, man, if he could give you 45 points, you'd be feeling pretty good about Matt Duchene based on the way that it had gone the previous 2 years. So I think you have to view it differently. I think one thing that continues to go, you know, maybe not talked about enough is the position change. You know, going from center to the wing, I think has worked out really well for him and worked out really well for the Predators. I mean, obviously, he is shooting the puck more. He's got more of an aggressive mindset shooting. He's got 27 goals. He's probably going to end up with 35, 36, 37 goals this year. And, you know, the ability to just be able to step in and go from playing center to the wing, not everybody can do that, although it is a little bit easier of a transition than going from the wing to playing center. I think he deserves a lot of credit for, number one, being able to do it, but number two, being willing to do it as well.
No, that's a great point because I don't even think about him in those terms anymore, you know? Like early on it was like, okay, which line is he centering? And he, to me, like he's exactly where he should be, you know? It's hard to even imagine him. Like he is, that's his job. And his job is put the puck in the net, you know? So, and then it's also interesting, you know, because of course Granlund, I think, has played more center here than ever in his career, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a flip-flop situation there, and it's just how it's worked here. And again, he seems like that's exactly where he should be. He does everything so well, he should be down the middle, you know? So, yeah, that's a great point. He's just he's found his groove, and he's a scorer, and he's got that mentality, and it just seems like he should have been there all along. But obviously, he was a very good centerman many years in this league.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a text that says, at what point do you consider Tolvanen and perhaps Cunnan a bust in terms of offensive production and look elsewhere for the second line production? You know, I think that's a question that a lot of Predators fans are going to continue to ask. I mean, we've been talking about Eli Tolvanen for a long time, and you know, I think Cunnan is a little bit separate. I mean, he's still a young guy, but to me, like Cunnan, I never viewed his upside as the same as Tolvanen. Now, maybe other people, you know, thought he could be a top six forward. I've never really viewed Cunnan that way. But we've been talking about Eli Tolvanen for a long time, and you know, last year we saw a flash of what I think he could be. Like, you know, he got hot. He played really well, especially on the power play. We talked about that combo of Josi up top, Forsberg on one side, Tolvanen on the other side. It was lethal, and then teams caught on to it. They defended it a little bit better. They took away his shot. And one thing that I still think he's got to get a lot better at, that he, in large part, I think has struggled with ever since he came into the league, is finding ways to get open and use your shot. Like, Philip Forsberg doesn't sneak up on people. Like, there's a lot of scouting done to try to slow down Philip Forsberg, and he still finds a way to get his shot off and to get around the net and to be able to score goals in different ways. Like Tolvanen, it feels like that's just not been there. And look, he's still young. He's still 22 years old. So that's the other part of this to keep in mind. There's a lot that he can still learn and get better at. But there's no question about it. Production-wise, it's been an incredibly disappointing year for Eli Tolvanen. And it does have me wondering, like, is he ever going to figure it out at the NHL level? If you would have told me back in the President's Trophy season when we were talking about Eli Tolvanen and, you know, him coming over maybe later that year, if you would have told me that 4 years later or, you know, 4 seasons later, he would have a grand total of 19 goals in his career, I would have told you you were nuts. But that's where we are.
Yeah. It's really interesting because early on I wondered, I was like, well, look, the skill is there, but man, can he handle it in this league? You know, that's what I early on, which again, that happens a lot with players, but usually if you get, well, I don't know if usually, but I guess you would hope that once you get over that hump and you kind of figure out how to play in this league and how to, you know, handle yourself in all areas of the ice and things like that, that naturally, like the best part of your game is going to be there, then you're going to be able to tap into it, which was what we saw last year. And that's what's so confusing about this year to me, because it wasn't a week that he played well last year. And some of it was, you know, on the power play, so you get a little extra space, and he was red hot. But I swear we were seeing a player who was kind of on the beginning of being a 25-30 goal scorer, you know, for several years. And now I don't know. It's hard to explain. I do think it's encouraging that he's still on the ice, but I'd say this is a really critical few weeks for him here. And here's another opportunity now that John Hines is giving him to, you know, to get some more scoring chances and see what he can do with them.
Well, and to that point, I mean, the second part of that question, looking elsewhere for second line production, like, to me, if you're hanging around and staying in the race and, you know, the Philip Forsberg situation gets worked out, that's what you got to turn your attention to if you're David Poile. Like, if Tolvanen doesn't take this opportunity and run with it, I don't think they want Philip Tomasino up there at this point on a permanent basis. Like, I think the looking elsewhere for second line production turns into, all right, well, what are you willing to spend at the trade deadline to go get that? Because if it's not going to be Tolvanen, I don't know that the answer to that is on the roster right now.
Forsberg probably fetch you a good top six forward.
Well, right? probably would. Man, might be able to get a couple of them.
Yeah, he could help with that.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Rick Barnes, Tennessee Vols basketball coach, coming up at 8:15. All that ahead, this is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.